This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, and welcome into hour number one of the G-Bag Nation. Gavin Dawson is out today. He's either sick or he's got a big 11U girls soccer game. Something's going on there. But we welcome back the great Brian Broaddus. We've got the two-time, I believe, it is two-time Hall of Famer Chris Arnold.
Got you, damn.
And Lucius Alexander. It is May the 4th, and so May the 4th be with you or whatever, the Star Wars thing.
Yes.
Just people text in, when's Harry Potter Day? When is Lord of the Rings Day?
Lordy.
Because if we're just going to pretend that that okay franchise deserves its own day.
Oh, you're calling that just okay?
Yeah, Star Wars is okay. It's okay.
Oh, all
nothing
the Lucas stuff, just okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Kind of brought everything into light you're now talking about, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
That's the daddy. It birthed all these things out here. A lot
of bad acting.
Yeah, Harry Potter is his son.
If we're going that route, then Luke Skywalker is Gandalf's great-grandson, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
George R. Martin, with you, Hef.
J.R. Tolkien's
Let's
first.
Line them up.
All these different...
line them up.
These comic book kind of movie series getting their day. What's the day after Wednesday?
Thursday.
No, it's Thor Day.
Get
your hammer.
Okay.
Thor Day. And Saturday's Iron Man Day.
I like Fat Thor.
Fat Thor's
if you guys
the
have
best.
Seen
Fat
Avengers.
Tuesday is actually my favorite.
Fat Tuesday's fine as
yeah,
well.
I'm a big fan
but
of that.
This is a sports broadcast. The Rangers lost yesterday because they couldn't catch or throw. That happens. And Cowboys had a draft, and Brian, you're back after taking a mental health day. Brian hated their draft so much, he stayed home from work on Monday.
No, I was sick at my stomach. That's why I stayed
home. You didn't like those picks.
We had to get some Tums, let everything. So I tell you what, if we were drafting, Brian would drop around. He didn't have the toughness to show up the day after the draft or the week.
I tell you, my problem is, Jeff, I'm getting too old for this. I'm getting too old for the draft. That's my problem. I put so much into it that I can't bounce back like I once did.
Oh, it is. It is a long weekend. What do we do?
It's
like
tough.
9 hours, 9 hours,
it was like
8 hours?
Yeah, it was like the old Jerry Lewis telethon. You're on 24 hours a day. And so, yeah, but it was – I enjoyed working with everybody, the coverage and stuff like that we had, and I appreciate everybody out there that hung with us the whole time.
I would like to start today's broadcast by announcing – this is an exclusive from me. You wouldn't know this if you don't take the paper like I do. Mavericks have a basketball game tonight, okay? They're going to play against the Miami Heat. Saw that in the paper.
You see that in the paper this morning?
I saw that in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
My question about this game is not will they win or lose or your favorite matchup. My question to both of you, will Luka Doncic, I'm adding letters to his name.
It's like me.
Will Luka get teed up tonight? His next technical comes with a one-game suspension. And after that, every two technicals after that leads to a one-game suspension. Will Luka achieve the goal? He says he won't get one the rest of the year.
See, he's hoping and praying. He's whistling through the graveyard. Let me say, there's a great fear.
If you're a member,
yeah, he's whistling through the graveyard. There's a great fear. There's eight games
left. I understood
left.
What he said. That's an old man saying right there.
Yes. It's like he's scared because he knows he has no control over this. For those who says, okay, if Luka, all he has to do is be on his best behavior, you don't know why he keeps getting these texts. Some of the times he's cussing at the refs. Some of the times he's arguing and screaming in their faces. But sometimes, like last month, he got a tech for saying, and one. Now, they rescinded that tech. After the game the other night, when he got tossed for getting two techs in one game, he said, oh, I'll be all right. But what happened, Luka? How did you get the first tech? I said, hell no. Because they gave him they gave him a foul on offensive foul. He goes, hell no. He said, you can't say that to me. That's what the ref told him. See, what Luka's discovering is every ref has a different personality, so it's subjective. You might be able to say hell no to that ref, but you can't say hell no to me. Then
what if you said hell no to the one you can say hell no to?
Yeah, we need to learn that guy and gal.
The guy you can't say it to overhears it.
Right, then he goes crazy.
Does he tee you up for the other guy?
Yes, he can.
That's dry snitching, by the way.
Yes, it is. That is. It's dry snitching. So what he's got to learn is to say, Lucius, hell to the no. You don't have to say hell no. No, he doesn't know what he can say or do. So even the last tech that he got, they got him kicked out of the game because two techs in one game, kicked out the game. He threw the ball the length of the court. It was during a timeout. He's like, I wasn't even mad. Guess what? That's the language of the rule. It has nothing to do with the ref being mad at you or you looking at the ref. It's in the rule. It's like in the bubble in the playoffs when Porzingis got kicked out because he was defending Luka. Well, guess what? He got kicked out and got suspended the next game because he had gotten a tech earlier in the game for arguing about a blocked shot. Well, guess what? That's two techs. Porzingis got kicked out of that game and automatically suspended in the playoffs. So, Luka, dude, you have no control over this. There's eight games. You have no idea what it's going to take to set off the refs. And guess what we got tonight? A couple of refs that love to give out tech.
Two refs that have teed Luka up in the last 4 months. You got a couple different guys that have each teed him up, once in March and once in January. 877-881-1053. It's the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. When will Luka get his technical? Or maybe you believe him. He's just like, nope, turning it off. Not going to get any.
Accountability partner maybe for Luka? Do we need somebody to be an accountability partner for him?
There's nothing you can do. Somebody IQ.
Needs to see what's about to happen and jump over
Tackle
there.
Tackle him?
Yeah, kind of push him out of the way.
Where's Willie Cauley-Stein? If he's not playing minutes, where's Boban?
Because he's so late. Boban. Yeah, Boban's his best friend.
Boban can defuse anything.
There you go.
But guess what? Even Boban got kicked out of a game. Yeah. Did you see that?
But that was an accident. He didn't mean to.
Well, we know.
He would never mean to.
Everybody knows that. Everybody was so mad. How could you kick out Boban, the nicest guy in the entire NBA? But back to Luka. Let's say he's on his best behavior. Knowing that these eight games down the stretch, you're trying not to be in the play-in tournament, will you get the real Luka? In other words, will it cost you a victory because Luka's not going to be his triple-double dominant takeover game self because he doesn't know what to do, and he has to be on his best behavior. And you got docile Luka. I don't think that's in him. I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's any such thing as docile Luka on a basketball court. I just think you're going to get the Dez Bryant passion, and he's going to get teed up.
Yeah, and I think you have to look. At some point in his career, he will be able to the way he plays and not emotionally react negatively when a foul is called. Like that day will come. But it ain't coming. It ain't coming because somebody just told him the next one gets you suspended, and he's like, "Oh, okay, no more."
Right.
Like, yeah, I bet you tonight. Watch in the first quarter.
Oh, no.
He won't react strongly to anything. Yeah. But later on in the game, it won't matter.
What does Vegas say?
Yeah,
I don't know. But
I'm pretty sure it's on the Vegas line.
Oh,
somewhere.
There's no question.
I got itchy hands, fam.
Yeah,
I have my prediction. Okay, I got a prediction. I put a lot of work into this. A lot of thought. Luka will not get a technical foul tonight.
Okay.
All right.
He makes it past these refs tonight.
Even though two of the three have teed him up.
He's going to make it through tonight because the coaches are going to beg him. They're going to be like, look, I know you can't control it in the moment, but just for the love of everything, just tonight, don't get teed up. Because on Thursday, we're going to host the Brooklyn Nets. Now, I don't want to break news to Maverick fans.
I see where this is going.
They're probably going to beat you, right? Yeah. So you're going to get into about mid-third quarter. It'll be mid to late third quarter. You'll be down by like 13.
Mm-hmm.
And Luka will fire a no-look pass to Kleba or Dodo, and they'll clang it off the rim for the fourth time that night. So they won't be making their open shots, and Luka's going to be pissed. Right? So then.
This is too real.
So then, next time down, call it 3 minutes left in the third.
Yeah.
Next time down, Luka's going to say, okay, y'all aren't making shots tonight.
Right.
No problem. So he's going to do a little dribble around, hesitation, push to his left, knife back to the right.
Going to the bag.
Little body contact into DeAndre Jordan that won't be called, shot blocked. And he's going to tell the ref a little something, and he's going to get teed up against Brooklyn with about 3 minutes left in the third quarter while down 13. That's when he's going to get the tech that's going to get him suspended.
And they'll miss the Cleveland game on Friday.
Oh,
and
I
the
see
Cleveland
this.
No, yeah. It'll be the Cleveland game on Friday,
right?
Which is a back to back,
right?
Where you would want to rest him anyway.
Sure.
So that way, his screw up lines up with the back to back, and it's all good.
And Rick says, Luca's so smart, he knew that. And that's why he
Rick also said.
Is that called a calculated risk?
Yeah, that's calculated. Rick also said one time, he goes, well, we're not worried about it because it'll probably be one of those nights we want to rest Luke anyway.
Yeah, back-to-back night. Yeah.
We saw this coming, and we told him, yes, go ahead and get out of your frustration.
Okay, so what's the ruling after we get this, and after we're suspended a game?
Right.
Two more, we get, we're
then
back.
For every two tees after that, you get to miss another one. Now, that doesn't count in the playoffs.
Right.
No. Thank God.
Fresh slate in the playoffs.
Oh,
by the way, in the playoffs, seven games.
I
mentioned this in the playoffs. This does happen that series because, remember, Porzingis got two techs and got suspended the very next game. He got those two techs against the Clippers.
Two techs?
Yep. One, you know, for arguing about a block shot,
right,
and then the other one for defending Luka against Marcus Morris. But anyway, you're right. Luka's going to get, he's going to get teed up.
It's so sad. Not tomorrow. Yeah.
Thursday.
It's so sad how you have this mapped out, but it's,
well, yeah,
it's
so
true.
For it.
It's
so
true.
You've got to plan for these things.
Yeah.
So Maverick fans, don't lose your minds. It's going to happen. It's inevitable.
If Luka goes the rest of the regular season without getting a technical foul, I will tattoo his face on my foot. Okay?
That'll work.
It ain't happening. He doesn't have the capability.
On the ball of your foot or the ankle?
Well, I'm about to say, where are you going?
Yeah, you got a wide
foot.
Well,
the cop-out is I'd do it on the bottom of my foot so nobody could see it.
Nobody could see it.
But yeah, I'd get
the
Lucas.
Healing process would be awful, though. You would have sold. Yeah, it's on the bottom of your foot.
We do have some decent ideas, I think, from the Autoflex Leasing fan text. The 972 says he just needs to cuss in his own language.
Yes.
I've actually talked
to Dirk about this, and I'm assuming this applies to him. I asked Dirk one time, because he got a tech cussing out one of the refs. I said, why don't you just cuss in German? He goes, because when I play basketball, I play it in English.
That's a tough thing to turn off. 214 has a great idea. Have Luka yell at Josh Green. Josh Green yell at the ref for Luka, because who cares if Josh Green gets teed up?
There
Nobody.
You go.
And Luka needs an accountability buddy like Butters in South Park.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one other really good idea I saw where he just needs to, here we go, he needs to come up with a euphemism phrase from the 469 to let out his anger.
Yeah.
Like cold potatoes.
Yeah.
You just pick something
that
you scream. Like back in the day, beer pong, mine was cheese and apple.
Pineapple.
Cheese and crackers.
Yeah,
is one.
That's
a
lot of people's safe word. Yeah. Yeah. That makes me uncomfortable.
I know a guy that whenever he wanted to get you, he's like, shut the front door.
That'll
get you.
Shut the front door.
You didn't perk up a little bit, Broadus?
Sound like my dad.
Us being on the radio and all, you didn't perk up just a little bit? I did.
My dad would say that all the time. Air conditioning bills, you know how that goes.
People are telling me that that's a bad tattoo location, that might hurt.
Oh.
Yeah, I was thinking so too, man. But on the foot, you might get like some, EFT money? What is that called? What's them things?
NFT?
NFTs.
There you go.
NFT might go bonkers, bro.
What if you I don't grow much hair under my arms, so what if I like shaved an armpit and had a Luka face under there?
Under your armpit?
Okay.
But wouldn't
you want it somewhere where people aren't going to see
much? Yeah. Wouldn't that irritate for a
while? Irritate the dude who had to do it.
The healing process would be awful.
How about every day you're spraying deodorant on Luka's face?
Your deodorant rash would be insane.
Yeah.
You had to take over your body.
I think that would be outstanding. And congratulations to the Texas Rangers for losing a game yesterday that they should have won, but they opted not to because Joey Gallo threw a ball too high. Nadolis Garcia jumped up in the air for no reason and didn't catch a baseball. And Jose Trevino forgot to tag a guy when he was getting run over.
You're supposed to do that, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fun things in the Ranger.
A lot of fun things,
A lot of fun things in the Ranger game. Yeah. Just not a W.
Not a W.
And that's okay. A little later in the show, what'll that be, 5:20, we'll go around the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Trout is saving baseball. And we'll grade the Rangers' first month. We'll have that coming up in the broadcast.
Like that.
And Broadus is back to finally react to the NFL draft.
That time.
Which, you know, would have been nice to have you yesterday, Brian. But
quitter.
Not a lot of toughness.
Not very much.
With Brian as he ages.
Yeah.
Back in the day, he would have been here.
I would have been here. You know,
but,
I would have.
You know, you get into the 50s.
What did it say, crusty?
And crusty. Some people don't bounce back like they used to.
Can't do that. You're right about that.
All right. Coming up next in the G-Bag Nation, though, we'll talk about that draft a little bit, and we'll get some clarity from Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn, then your G-Bag of the day in the nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We're going to talk about what Dan Quinn had to say about these Cowboys defense and get Brian Broadus' reactions to that. This segment of The Fan is brought to you by personal injury lawyers Frankel & Frankel. Have you been injured in a wreck with a work truck or an 18-wheeler? Call 214-333-3333 or truckwreck.com, principal office, Dallas, Texas. We got to hear from Mike McCarthy all the time. We hear from the Joneses all the time. And all this time, the only guy I wanted to hear from was Dan Quinn, because we're kicking around what the defense is going to look like and who's going to do what. But it's Mike McCarthy's answers that are telling us about the defense. And he's like, well, we're going to do lots of stuff. And we're going to do good and great stuff. But Dan Quinn finally being available to the media was great. And before we play any of the audio of it, because Brian had a nice observation that we will go through the audio of, the first thing is that he mentioned this will be a base 3-4 team. Were you surprised at all to hear that?
I was. I really was. And, you know, and with Dan, so much of his history has been with the 4-3 front.
And Legion of Boom.
Yeah, and the fact that he is a, you know, he's a former defensive line coach himself. So it surprises me. And, you know, maybe he's done some self-evaluation and thinking like, okay, everybody has me tagged as this guy, a 4-3 guy, the single high stuff and all that. He's like, maybe I can remake myself and think about some things with some 3-4 principles. He might have also looked at his roster currently here with the Cowboys and said, oh, okay, this is what I have to do. This is how I'm going to have to take advantage of getting linebackers on the field. This is how I'm going to have to take advantage of getting some defensive ends on the field, nose tackles and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was surprising to me because usually coaches just kind of go with what they know, you know. And I give him some credit.
Glad he doesn't.
Yeah, I'm really glad. And
did you just say that after they cut Jalen and LVE,
wow,
it's gone, then they'll go back to the 4-3?
Wow, nah, sir.
I didn't say that, but, you know,
he's going to make do and get these linebackers on the field.
There's a little fun little game we're going to have today that I'm going to ask you guys some questions about that. But to me, I was surprised, Jeff and Chris, because I expected him to say, listen, but this is something that you have to do. And you know, if Dan Quinn wants to get another head coaching job, you have to show adaptability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to show what are the one things that we always get on Mike McCarthy about? Where have we advanced? When you have a complete year off, where have we advanced? Your best coach on the staff last year was a holdover coach with Kellen Moore. So to me, Dan Quinn is looking at this like, okay, if I could show that I could do this, maybe it shows owners and general managers that I do have that ability to adjust.
Before we play audio, I'm going to ask you a question that's been on my mind, because you were always on my mind.
Really?
Like, for Dan Quinn, I think if you're the Cowboys, you would like this year to go well, and you'd like him to keep being your defensive coordinator. That's what you would like to happen.
Yes.
But we saw last year there is a chance that your defense is so bad that you fire a coordinator after 1 year.
Right.
And there's a chance that if the Cowboys are really good and their defense is okay, that Dan Quinn is suddenly a head coaching candidate again.
Yes.
Does it make sense to draft dudes that a certain guy wants when you don't know how long that certain guy's going to be here?
I think that I think you're into that mode right now where if Dan Quinn leaves, maybe Joe Witt becomes the defensive
coordinator. And just continue with whatever he's sort of built.
Or George Edwards, mm-hmm. You know. You've got some guys on the staff that have been defensive coordinators. So I would think that would be the case.
All right, let's hear from Dan Quinn. And, Brian, you had a couple of takeaways from this because they asked him about, you know, he picked corners that are giants. So what does the size in your secondary do for your defense?
I think just, you know, one, the length. And you think about, you know, even in basketball, you know, somebody has to go out and defend, you know, to have that length to go defend. And so whether it's at corner, you know, where you can play right down on the line of scrimmage and make receivers have to go and release, or if it's a safety or a linebacker who has to guard, you know, tight ends who have length, when you have length, you can match some of that. And in the NFL, so many of the matchups are created, you know, on size or speed. So you want to have a roster that has versatility. And I think that's one of the things, you know, that I really admire about Mike, and having the versatility of positions where you play more than one thing. And so I've enjoyed, you know, like I said, this process of going through it with Steven and Jerry and Will and Mike, talking about different roles for players. And I think hopefully the next time that I visit with everybody, I'll have a better sense of where we're at and what we can do based on my time on the field with them. But until then, we'll still be working it out, because my job is to make sure I can put the guys in the best spots of the things that make them all unique. And so I look forward to doing that.
Yeah, that's a good, he's trying to figure out where all the pieces goes. One of the reasons why he would like longer corners, and it was explained to me last night, and I was curious. I'm like, man, because I was laying in bed yesterday, but I was listening to you and Gavin talk about, about why would you draft, are we going to a league where you have 5'9", 6", or 5'11", 6-foot wide receivers, and, mm-hmm. The Cowboys backwards on the way of thinking and stuff. And I had a guy explain to me last night, he's like, listen, when you play with taller corners, and this is what Dan was talking about, you can affect their route running with, if you play press and if you get up on them and if you make them have to deal with length. But what this guy also told me, he says, but you also get into a situation where quarterbacks are looking for windows to throw the ball into. And when you have a tall, long corner and you could stay on the hip or stay in position, you're not giving the quarterback any window to see into. So that's where, like, if you have smaller guys, it's like, oh, the quarterback feels he could throw that ball in there and not have a problem doing that. But a taller, longer, rangier guy that has the ability to stay in position, no window appears. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you see with Dan Quinn wanting to play with taller, longer guys, just for the fact of matter is that they want to have the vision of the quarterback.
Looking at it and going, nope.
Nope. Yep, nope. Yeah, like that. He looks out there and he sees, oh, jersey, 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 still jersey. Okay, maybe that's kind of where,
make him think.
Yeah, and if you could get a guy to hold the ball, and we've seen this, what happens in the league, these quarterbacks do a great job of getting the ball out, but if you give them the optics of something being in their way, then it makes you a better pass defense.
All right, and then they asked him the follow-up where, you drafted a lot of guys with 34-inch, which in the NFL, that is long arms. So you drafted a bunch of dudes with the long arms. Where does that show up? And I'd imagine he's going to talk about some of the things you're alluding to.
Yeah, I think let's talk first with the big guys in the run game, because when you get a chance to lock somebody out, now you can create that separation to go, and defend and make a tackle. A guy like Brent Urban, who has this ability to, get somebody locked out, or Carlos in that space. As a pass rusher, obviously, who are you going against are guys who have some long arms, certainly a tackle, and that's no, big secret, but that type of hand-to-hand combat, when you have the length, you can do that. And then out on the perimeter, whether you're at a linebacker or a safety, who has the ability to, like I said, guard the big tight ends. So it shows up in a lot of different ways. Sometimes when you're defending somebody and guarding them man-to-man, or other times in the run game to lock them out, or the last part I would say in the pass rush, that ability to defeat somebody who has long arms. So I think it shows up all over, and the bigger, the faster, the longer that we can play, the more aggressive we will be, because we'd like to play certainly in a bold style. So having guys with length and speed and the run and hit factor, that's a big part of it.
It's just words so far. Mm-hmm. I like Dan Quinn a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've talked to a bunch of people over there, and they said he was a joy to work with through this whole drafting process.
Well, that's because they let him pick whoever he wanted.
Well, he had a plan. He had a plan what he wanted to do. He had an idea of the type of player, and he went out and did the work on the road to get it done.
All right, now it is time for your G-Bag of the Day. And do we have a defending champ who's on the doorstep to something, or did they get knocked off?
No, we have a defending champ. We have.
That was whack, huh?
No, it was great.
That was
great.
Really good, was actually.
Great. Now you guys are capping. Don't do that.
No. I would never try that.
That was a mid-range jumper that went around the rim twice before it came out.
I was warming up. Like, it wasn't even supposed to be seen, We just got out there. The balls got off the rack. I just picked one
up. You still got your sweats on.
Yeah, exactly. My shoes ain't even tied, fam. Yeah. Relax. Yeah. All right.
How are things in the Pimp Cup, though?
They're great. Long snapper Thomas Fletcher. His audio from the phone call. He's a Panther now. He's got a job. He's really excited about it.
Hey, Fletch, what's up, bro?
What's up, brother?
You coming or what?
Trying to figure it out right now.
No. I just drafted you. You coming or what?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, bro.
No. You did not.
Yeah. Welcome to Carolina.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. Welcome to Carolina Panthers.
Dude, chill out, brother. Dude, I cannot wait to help you win, man. I cannot wait to help you win.
I love it. I love it. Well,
hey, here's Dude, thank you, brother.
Yeah,
thank you.
Here's what I'm going to do, Stepper. Hold on.
Fletcher, you're going to be good in Carolina.
Dude, let's go, baby.
You ready, man? You ready?
Are you kidding me? Am I ready? I'll walk my happy ass to Carolina right now, dude.
You walking?
If you want me to, I'll crawl on my hands and knees, bro.
We'll get you an escort here, okay?
Golly.
He sounds like a bleeder, right?
Man. I tell you what, dude, a deep snapper being that comfortable talking to a head coach and an owner like that, that's a confident deep snapper.
It is.
Like, your job isn't even that important.
I wish all the players
Sir.
Until it's the most important play on the
game. Until that missed extra point or field goal goes away, and then you're ripping someone's rear the next day
You got spoiled,
LP. Exactly, LP spoiled you. He never had a mistake.
I'll find a guy to snap a football.
Let me go to the next one. I'm sorry. I got a lot, and I just want to get through it because, you know, the time beyond me.
Yes, sir. Apologies. My fault.
Whoa, you back up.
I will walk my happy ass to Carolina.
Yeah.
Jimmy Buck is doing his media obligations, going back and forth with a reporter right here yesterday.
Uh-oh, Miami Heat.
Are you aware of sort of how tough the schedule is down the close with two against Boston, one against Philly, one against Milwaukee? I mean, and one against Dallas. I mean, does it almost feel maybe a little bit like pre-playoffs?
That's tough for you?
I don't know. I'm just saying. There's challenges.
Maybe if your sorry ass was on our team, it'd be tough. I think we'll be just fine.
My sorry ass thanks you. Thank you.
Fam, get up.
Are you aware of sort of how tough?
He took it well.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Get up.
He must know that reporter.
He knows that guy. He has to know that guy.
He's had crab legs with him for sure.
Yeah, there's no question.
I don't know. When Jimmy first got to Miami, didn't he basically run off everybody? And he was like, we're going to practice like I practice.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But in other words, Jimmy knows he can be that way with that reporter because that reporter knows how he is.
Yeah.
Who else is challenging today?
This woman in the spirit of Left Eye, Lisa Lopez.
Oh, don't go chasing wildfires.
I say this respectfully. She sure did.
Oh, my God.
I love her. She was at Green Bay.
Was it Andre Rison's house again?
And not only did she burn down a house, this woman right here, she did it while sitting in a lawn chair.
Yeah.
She sat right there in the lawn chair.
Damn.
And watched it burn down. She told him over and over and over, whatever she told him again and again and again, and this is what you get right here.
I cannot actually believe it. And she's sitting there just chilling, watching the house go up in flames. Oh my God. I actually can't believe this. And she's just chilling back. Just
reading a book, bro.
Like, yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm watching this go down. This is now turned into a serious, serious thing. Get out of the house! It's on fire! Get out of the house!
Flames.
Sounds like a fire.
Yep.
Oh my God. That whole roof just fell.
Yeah.
She burned the house down, Phil.
She did.
He better be glad he got out of that relationship.
What did he do, you think?
I don't know. I
came home and cried like any other person would do. What are you talking about?
No, I mean to cause.
To make her do that.
Anything. You know, leave your socks out. You know, not talk to her.
When Left Eye burned down.
Other girl's photo on Instagram. Whatever.
Whatever.
Many of things you can do to get your house burned down by a woman. Yeah, what are you talking about?
When Left
Eye burned down Andre Rison's house, she started with all his sneakers and shoes. She put them in the bathtub. The bathtub had the drapes hanging down.
Yeah.
And then everything went up. Because she was mad at him paying more attention to those shoes than her.
Exactly. I'm saying it could be anything.
She was part of our Super Bowl run in 96.
Yeah, she was.
We had Andre up in Green Bay. She used to show up and she was our good luck charm. Seriously, when she showed up, we were winning ball games.
Was that pre or post fire?
The fire was after. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The fire was inside still.
Yeah.
Any other challengers?
Yeah, real quick right here. Caught some police's drag racings in their cars.
Oh, no.
I just saw these two police cars, like, going really, really fast, and then one crashed into another, and then they crashed into the wooden fence over there, and just, Tokyo it was drift. A really loud noise. I think that's just really stupid.
The 6th District Commander, Duriya Habibullah, says the cars ended up being totaled. The email goes on to say the officer's behavior is, quote, not fair to any of us. We've learned through sources one of the drivers was a female officer who sources say is newer to the department.
Yeah, what is that last part for?
Well, she was peer pressured into it.
What was that last part, bro?
When the captain pulls up next to you and revs the engine, what are you going to do? You got to go.
That has no place into the report. By the way, one of the officers was black, and he was just got there on the force. Just want to let you guys know.
They're trying to cut her some slack. Like, look, she was obviously, it wasn't her idea.
She was goaded into this.
Yeah.
What?
It's tough.
That is wild, that report.
All right. Is it our defending champion, the deep snapper, whose job isn't that important, but he was excited to be drafted? Is it Jimmy Butler telling the reporter?
Some deep snapper's going to snap you out here real quick.
Is it our arsonist lady burning down the house or the police drag race report?
I bet they was in some Chargers or something. Yeah, they was in some really cool
cars. Even their regular cop cars, a lot of them, they got them souped up.
They do.
Lucius, where are you going?
Long snapper, Thomas Fletcher, you in the house?
Thomas, well, let me get his name there. Corny dog guy. Corny dog deep snapper gets one vote. CA?
My gosh.
My happy ass is choosing the left eye wannabe.
Okay, so that's not a Jimmy Butler vote. It's the burn down.
You think she was full of wine at that time?
I think.
I'm pretty sure Chardonnay was kicking in.
The gall of it all got me.
No, if she was full of Chardonnay, she'd have been up celebrating and stuff. She was smoking.
I told you, honey.
So she was calm as hell.
I tried to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, where are you voting?
I am not going to let you disrespect a long snapper. How about Thomas Fletcher, sir?
There you go,
all right,
Brian.
Voting for the corny dog, not important guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll vote for Jimmy Butler, which means our champ has defended the title. Congrats to Fletcher's corny dogs and Thomas, grandson, allegedly, of that thing. Brian, what's coming up next in Krusty's Corner?
In Krusty's Corner, I'm going to tell you who had the best draft in the NFC East next.
All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It is time for Krusty's Corner,
It
is every day at this time. You wake up in the morning, you get that stuff in your eye, wipe all that nasty crust out of there, and here's Brian.
Thank you very much, Jeffrey.
You're welcome, Krusty.
Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Nice to be back here talking a little draft. Probably not going to like what I'm about to talk about.
God. Uh-oh. You had 24 hours to chill out, dude.
I don't think this is kind of how I see things.
I don't chill out.
I don't chill out. I get sick and I retreat. I do that every once in a while.
But you grind.
But I try and grind. But did you have a chance to go through this NFC East draft at all, Jeffrey?
Yeah, a little bit yesterday. Yeah, a little bit. But I'm, you have earned the platform,
the crusty platform
to share your thoughts.
Did you pick a particular team you liked more than the others?
Oh, I thought Cleveland killed it.
I'm talking about just the NFC East.
I thought,
you look at NFC East.
Oh, the East.
Yeah, did you look at the East?
Yeah, there was a team that I thought had the best draft in the East.
There's only four.
Yeah, I thought one of them had the best draft. Yeah, one of them.
Did you say it was the Philadelphia Eagles?
I did.
So, okay.
I did.
I just wanted to make sure that you and I were kind of on the same page here.
Yeah, I like what the Eagles did. And the Cowboys could have beat them if they'd have listened to us, but they didn't want to. So we just had to hope that the guys they liked more than we liked are better than we think.
Yeah. I think to me where when you start to talk with the Cowboys and what they tried to do. I understand it better now after listening to Dan Quinn talk.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a better feeling like, okay, I get it. I see, all I ever wanted was a little bit of direction and a little bit of plan, And
it's a Backstreet Boys song. You're all I ever want. And I forget how it goes. Don't worry about it.
But I wanted them to have a plan with this stuff. And so I kind of feel like they did have a plan. Now, did they necessarily take that right guy at the cornerback spot? No, I don't think they did. We'll see. I could be way wrong about that. I'm talking about right.
That'll be the hinge. Look at because
that'll be the hinge for me because that's the one that's gonna. I'm gonna look back and say, okay, who all did you have on that board?
Yeah,
Melifonwu, and they probably
Elijah Molden.
Molden, but they probably weren't gonna take Molden because of they were. If they did take Molden, it was probably because he was gonna play free safety.
Yeah,
they probably.
Well, you need free safety.
Ambry Thomas from Michigan, my guy. I liked him, but I did like Melifonwu a lot.
So you're just basically saying Deshaun Wright could have been had as a free agent.
You could have had him later.
Yeah, later.
You could have had him.
I think you could have him later.
It's nobody possible really wanted. You could have picked the guy you picked at 75. You could have picked him at 84. The guy you picked at 84, you could have picked at 99. The guy you picked at 99, you could have still not picked him with your next pick because you could still take Jabril Cox and you take him with your next pick.
I think they got lucky on the Cox pick, by the way.
For sure.
Because that was a guy, if you look at where I'm hearing where they had him graded.
Oh, people wanted him at 99.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
There were people in that room that had to step up and say that for sure. But the hated Philadelphia Eagles, well, okay, I evaluated 190 players is what I did for this draft. And where I was really, really impressed by what they did overall with the – I mean, every one of their picks, I felt like, okay, that's where I would have taken this guy. The only one – I love the Smith pick. I love the Landon Dickerson pick.
Alabama center.
Milton Williams. Okay. They took him at 73. I had him as, out of my 190 players, I had him as the 79th best player on my board.
That's a reach then by six picks.
Not a reach at all. That's a reach. Not a reach. But out of 190 players, you know. Okay. They took Zach McPherson, another one, the cornerback from Texas Tech. Okay. I had him at pick. They took him at pick 123. I had him at 147 on my board.
Oh, two reaches.
Not a reach. Tupeloto.
Oh, you're skipping one. Kenneth Gainwell.
Okay,
the
I'm just
okay.
I'm just
gonna,
okay. I'm just gonna tell you, but Gainwell. Okay,
he's a baller.
Okay, Gainwell. They have him at 150. I was going to go back to that.
Okay,
Gainwell. They picked him at 150. I had him at 68 on my board.
Yes, running backs who are great receivers. Yeah. That's what you want on your team.
Yes. Running back named Gainwell?
Gainwell.
Amazing.
Gainwell, good yes. And he was, and Kenneth Gainwell from Memphis. And they took him at 150, and I had him at number 68 on my board.
That's good value. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, how about this one then? The USC defensive tackle.
My guy.
Yeah.
Our guy.
Pick 189, Jeffrey.
He would have been in my top 100.
Had him at number 70 on my board.
Yep. That's how you draft.
Yeah.
That's how you draft them.
That's how you draft. And then Taron Jackson, who they took from Coastal Carolina, did not make my board. Jacoby Stevens, he was taken at 224. I had him in the seventh round. That's about where he needed to go. But this Patrick Johnson.
Not bad.
Defensive end, outside linebacker from Tulane.
Not bad.
Okay. They took him at pick 234. I had him at 168 on my board as well.
Philly did a good job. They don't have a quarterback, though, so that's tough.
Are you killing them because they don't have a quarterback? Let me ask you this. As compared to the Cowboys, two teams that were looking to add talent, did they add more talent to their roster than you did? And I know this is just right now just looking at it on the surface.
Right.
We'll see how it plays out overall. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not saying, oh, this is – all the Cowboy guys are going to be busts, because the Philly, all these guys we talked about could be busts too. But I feel like that Philly added more talent to their roster than what the Cowboys did.
And maximize their picks.
Yeah.
I think they, according to what I saw in a lot of these players, I think they did a better job on the third day of the draft. Like, I would take Devontae Smith over Micah Parsons, so you can compare those.
Right.
Landon Dickerson versus Kelvin Joseph, I think, is close. Milton Williams versus Osa Odighizuwa, I think, is close. McPherson versus
Golston.
Might go McPherson. And then it gets thrown off because their picks are later. But you did get Jabril Cox. Like, I don't dislike what the Cowboys did, because I think that linebacker Jabril Cox added so much value to your draft where you got him.
They got a gift. They clearly got a gift from the draft gods there on that one.
Yeah,
because where they took him there at 115, I'm thinking that player right there is more at 75, 84, 99.
A lot of people thought he might go top 50, 60.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he got to you.
Yeah.
But I thought that they got really good value out of Jabril Cox. Two of their third rounders, while I thought maybe early, I really like. It's just the pick at 99 that we're going to watch and be like, does he have a better career than guys who were picked right after him that played the same position?
Okay, for the Cowboy fans out there who are wondering, I thought Steven gave a great answer to this yesterday, but they're like, Philadelphia, because they can't stand Philadelphia.
Right.
And the first thing that triggers them is they remember the Cowboys swap picks
to get Smith.
Exactly. So my point is, for those fans, calm them down that the Cowboys did not help the Eagles.
Well, the Giants.
I thought it was genius.
Yeah, the Giants were going to, because Jeff was talking about the night of the draft. He goes, you got an extra pick. And then got Parsons.
And you got to pick where in the East Devontae Smith plays. Because the Giants were going to take him.
Right.
So it was up to you. Do you want to stay at 10 and say, no, Philadelphia, we're going to pick Micah Parsons here? Or would you rather have him go to Philadelphia instead of New York? And the Cowboys went, we're going to add a pick, and we are going to control where Devontae Smith goes, and we are going to send him to Philly.
Exactly.
So to me, that's smart.
Yeah, you wound up with 11 picks.
Yeah, and you get to pick where he goes. That's great.
Yeah. So
they didn't help the Eagles. For those Cowboy fans, they did not
help
the Eagles.
They got their guy, and then they were able to pick up the extra third-round pick. So, but I just think overall, if you look at where on the day three, like you're talking about, Jeff, I think that's where the Eagles were able to kind of get a little bit of advantage. And that's where we always say, where can you get an advantage in the draft? You know, because what we say, the day three of the draft is the scouts draft, you know. And I feel like that maybe the Eagles had their – or just my view – the Eagles had a little bit better time of it. Not saying that the Cowboys draft is poor, but I think if you went player for player, I think on at least on my board, the Eagles did have a better run at it.
All right, so there you go. That's Krusty's Corner. And by the way, we will talk to Will McClay tomorrow at 2:15.
Make an appointment.
G-Bag Nation. That'll be tomorrow. Nick Solak at 3:20, Ranger fans. But coming up next, league MVP. He's ticked off again. Is he on the move? It's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.